With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, welcome back to the George Christensen Show here on TNT Radio. We've been off the air for a couple of weeks, and we're back now with a very truncated version of the show. We're going to go until 7 o'clock, and then after that, I'm hopefully assuming that we're going to have Ross Cameron, the great Ross Cameron, there to talk to you. But today, we're talking with a fellow Queenslander, Dylan Oakley. He was a registered teacher. I think he's still actually a registered teacher, has been since 1999, teaching in private schools and state high schools, public schools. And he also worked in the corporate sector in public relations and sales and marketing. Dylan, he's married, a father of five kids, so he's doing his bit against the globalists who want to depopulate us all. But he and his wife, Fiona, are actually both teachers. And they have gone on and homeschooled their kids, which is a great thing. I encourage homeschooling because we've got big problems in our education sector, in our classrooms, with all of the wokeism and the gender fluidity and the racial division through critical race theory and all those sort of things that are being shoved down our kids' throats. But Dylan's also an avid student of the Bible. He served as a lay preacher in not one, not two, but three churches, the Presbyterian Church, the Baptist Church, and the Pentecostal denomination, and also in various home church settings. Now, here's where the story gets interesting, folks. On the 9th of December, 2021, like so many other people right across Australia, in fact, right across the world, Dylan Oakley walked through the gates of his local high school for the last time, barred from the classroom because the government of the state of Queensland brought in this terrible no jab, no job policy, vaccine mandates. Shouldn't even call them vaccine mandates because it was a mandate for a gene therapy, an mRNA gene therapy injection that was masquerading as a vaccine. But Dylan was one of the many victims. Around the same time, he jumped onto social media, onto Facebook, created a page as a method of protest, and that page is called Freedom Has a Voice. That page has grown fairly quickly today. It's got thousands of followers. He was someone who was a bit of an unlikely freedom fighter, stepping into that void, filling the void that was created by, as Dylan says, complicity, the silence of political leaders, civic leaders, and even church leaders. And what's happened since is that this vocation, this calling, it's taken him and his family right across Australia, where they've gone to various protests, various meetings, various gatherings, standing up for freedom, calling out injustice, calling out oppression, and being part of the resistance effort that has risen up in response to what was the greatest assault on individual freedoms in this nation. And the greatest assault on Christian conscience in this nation's history. He was involved in the convoy to Canberra, as I was, and many of TNT's listeners are. You may have been there yourself. He's been involved in flood relief efforts, protest action, mainstream media interviews. They don't ever go down too well, the mainstream media interviews, but nonetheless, he's been at speaking engagements, at protests, political forums, churches, community gatherings. He's just been about everywhere. And Dylan has a heart to see everyday Aussies lift their voices up for freedom and for righteousness. And I want to share with you just a little snippet of Dylan preaching at a recent rally. I think it was just outside the Queensland Parliament. Let's play the clip.
We're meant to have representatives that represent us, but instead they represent Big Pharma. They represent the globalists. And it's Senator Alex Antic who said, let's have a look and decide and find out how many of our representatives in Parliament are actually sponsored by the World Economic Forum. It's an incredible number, and not only in our Parliament, but in parliaments around the world in Western democracies, infiltrated, or if you use Klaus Schwab's words, you know, penetrated the cabinets, you know. So they're there everywhere, and we found out they're working for the globalists. They're not working for us. This is a travesty, and for many people it was a wake-up. And we saw this garden filled with tens of thousands. Now, there's not tens of thousands here today, and in many ways, people have felt the pressure come off now. You know, mandates, vaccine mandates, the unconscionable vaccine mandates have been dropped in many industries. Most industries, they're talking now about dropping it in health settings as well. And so people feel like the pressure's off. And a lot of people you'll talk to, they say, look, I had two shots. Maybe I had three shots. I'm not having any more. And they puff their chest out. Well, just remember that it's because of the righteous resistance that rose up in this nation that you can make that decision. We're in the eye of the storm right now. And I think that's where people get lulled into a false sense of security. You know, in the eye of the storm, it seems to go calm. But you've got this eerie feeling that it's not over, that the worst is yet to come. Ask anybody who went through Cyclone Tracy in Darwin what that eye of the storm was like. I've heard people talk about it who were there. It went dead still, completely calm, like it was all over. And you're walking around going, wow, the eye of the storm. And that's where we are right now. And what we can see the other side of the storm coming, as Billy has rightly pointed out, and our speaker just earlier too pointed out, that this legislation to try and shut down freedom of speech, and really what I would call to shut down truth speech.
Yes, great words there from Dylan Oakley, words of truth, words of power. Welcome very much to TNT Radio and the George Christensen Show, Dylan. Tell us a bit about that protest. I'm assuming that was a protest that was against the Queensland government's efforts to introduce so-called quote-unquote hate speech laws or anti-hate speech laws, which really are just another attack on freedom and freedom of speech in particular. Was that the occasion, Dylan, or was it something else?
G'day, George. Yeah, correct, it was. Just before I answer that, I do want to say thank you so much for having me on the program, and I have really admired what you've done both in Parliament through those dark days, doing your effort inside our parliaments to push back, and then afterwards as well as a champion of truth yourself. So thank you. And I must say you really did your homework. I was incredibly surprised with how much information you had about my journey, not only over the last few years, but even beforehand. So well done there. You're a good journalist, George. You lend yourself to journalism. Well, actually, I think you may have been a journalist before you're a politician, if I remember correctly. I've done my homework too.
Indeed, that's correct. I was a journalist. I always tell people I've got the twin evils. So I've got background in journalism and background in politics, and hopefully what I can do now is put those twin evils to the use of good, and that's what we try and do through this show, because we certainly don't get much truth-telling these days out of the fake news legacy media, Dylan, and the truth that comes out of that place down in Canberra, which I was at, Parliament House, is even less than the truth we get out of the mainstream media these days. So we need good outfits like this TNT radio station, and we need people like yourself there. You've basically turned your hand completely now, as I understand it, to preaching, apart from when you're making your delicious honey at home, or the bees are, rather. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Folks, can I tell you, I've sampled some of Dylan's honey, and it is good, but we'll talk about that a bit later. What I want to talk about, Dylan, is exactly what you are doing now in terms of your new role as a preacher.
Yeah, look, and George, you touched on before that I have been a lay preacher over the years. And it's always been, I guess, something on my life. These things, I think, are a calling. And all through my time as a teacher and in other times I was working in business, I've always been a lay preacher in the different churches that we've been in. It just seems to happen. I haven't put my hand up. I've been asked. And I guess what happened in the last few years, and I've said this a few times, it takes a rogue Pharaoh to draw a Moses out of the wilderness, or it takes a taunting Goliath defying, you know, the people of God to draw David out from the sheep in the paddock, you know. And that's what's kind of happened, not just for me, but for others as well that I've come across in our journeys over the last few years. I've come across people, nurses, pilots, whatever their profession, but they've kind of been launched into this role now of speaking up, and they do it from a place often of Christian faith, you know. So for me, George, I guess it's just a calling that has now increased. And I mean, I look at a lot of these things from a spiritual perspective. And if I can give you that spiritual perspective here, it's when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if your listeners are aware or familiar with a story in the Bible where there was these three Hebrews and they would not bow down to this edifice that was built on the plains of Shinar in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar built this edifice, and he commanded that everyone must bow down to it. When you hear the music play, all the officials in the land, all of the entertainment, the sports stars, everybody was there, and at the sound of the music, every single person had to bow down. And it felt a bit like that in the last few years. It was like there was no choice. Everyone was required to bow down to this thing. And they said no, and they defied an evil edict. And the scripture is full of men and women of God who defy bad laws. And as a result, they were warned, and then they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And the only thing that burnt in that fiery furnace, it wasn't them, but it was the ropes that had them bound. So they found that even the things that had restricted them in the past were now gone, and they came out with a promotion because the king was so surprised that they should survive such a fiery ordeal. None other than Jesus Christ himself appeared with them in that fire. Promoted them and said, from now on, nobody dare say a thing against their God. So I guess to answer your question in a long way there, George, what happened for me was I found as I did not bow my knee to this thing, and I stood up and I was outspoken, and I let myself in a way go into the fire. All that's happened for me is things that have probably held me back a bit from preaching have now gone. And I see an open plain ahead of me to go and preach the truth.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic, and that story is that biblical tale is fantastic as well in terms of juxtaposing it to what has gone on the last couple of years. I mean, people who had their back against the wall. They were told that they had to do a certain thing, and they just said no. They just said to the authorities, no, we're not doing it. And some of them lost everything. Some of them lost their jobs, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
well, I would add to the story, if I may, it wasn't just myself who lost my job, George. My daughter, Anna, is a young, 22-year-old or 21, she might have been at the time. She just graduated university. She graduated the day that these unconscionable injection mandates took effect in this state. Mm. And so she could not take or accept the two job offers that she had. Now, I was looking at a daughter that has a calling to work with children. Twice she's been overseas to work with impoverished children as a teenager. She's an older sibling of four younger siblings, and she had such a heart and a calling to teach. And here on the day of her graduation, unless she surrenders her body to two experimental injections, she can't take the job. Now, I was also I had some righteous indignation, George, at that graduation ceremony as well, because that night these academics, these officials stood up there, they went through all the protocols of a graduation ceremony, and I'm telling you, not a word was spoken about the tyranny that we were undergoing as a nation, as a state, and the fact that there were people in that graduation ceremony who could not take a job based on their conscientious stand. So it was her as well, and the courage I saw in her that helped inspire me to get active and become a voice. In fact, she's the one who got me on social media, George, because I'd never been on it prior to that. So she set me up on Facebook. I said, get me. I'd always said to my children, I was not much of a fan of social media, but here we go. You've got to do these things.
Well, I'm still not a fan, but I mean, you've got to do it to get your message out in this day and age. It's indeed right. A love-hate relationship. Actually, we will talk a little bit more about social media
and what
you were protesting against, and actually what the federal government is trying to do after this quick break here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show.
For Voye Morich on TNT Radio.
The quote from Edward Dowd, the credit system needs constant growth or it implodes. The COVID war reinflated for a bit, but now we face deflation soon. Now imagine the debts created from the UFO threat and government spending bonanza. Ask yourself why now this disclosure and then contemplate the above. I'd probably add the whole green agenda, which, you know, they say need trillions of dollars. So it's like they've dug themselves into this hole, so they need to keep inventing pretexts, you know, pandemics, UFOs, climate change, to print trillions of new dollars to keep kicking the can down the road. So let's see how far they can take it.
For Voye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
You're listening to George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. We're here with Dylan Oakley for the rest of the hour. Dylan Oakley, as I said earlier, is someone who lost his job because of these no jab, no job policies that were going right across the country. He was a teacher, but now he has firmly taken on the role and vocation and calling of a lay preacher, and he's using that to actually drive home change and particularly open people's eyes about what happened before, but also what's happening now. At the top of the show, I played an excerpt from Dylan's recent speech that he gave at a rally that was against the Queensland government's proposed anti-hate speech laws. These are laws that are currently sitting in the Queensland Parliament now. And I've got to tell you, the laws, folks, are incredibly, incredibly disturbing. Why? Because they talk about subjective things, such as, you know, things that offend other people, things that offend minority groups. And if you fall afoul of those laws, if you happen to offend a minority group and it's deemed hate speech, you could be jailed for things you post online. Now, I don't know, Dylan, what that is going to mean, whether it's going to mean one day in Queensland, if I put a tweet up saying that a man can't be a woman, that I'm going to suddenly get locked in the slammer. But I fear that it is. And people who think that this is crazy talk just need to have a look over in the United Kingdom. In England, the police regularly turn up to the homes of people, knocking on the door and asking them to explain why they put a certain Facebook post up, why they put a certain tweet up, why they put something up online. So it is not an exaggeration to say this can happen because of these type of laws. And of course, they cloak them. They cloak them, Dylan, because the headline grabbing thing out of this is, oh, we're banning the Nazi flag and all Nazi paraphernalia being displayed. So if you oppose it, it's just a typical propaganda job, mate. If you oppose the law, you suddenly become a supporter of Nazi material and the swastika. Anything but. Actually, what you and I think are both arguing for is for freedom of speech. And, you know, you could extrapolate that a bit. We're actually arguing against fascism, which wants to clamp down on freedom of speech. So tell us a bit about why you've become incensed about these laws. You can see I'm incensed, mate.
I can see. And, yeah, look, to go back to your original question, and we're going back to that now, It was the Criminal Code. I believe it's the Serious Vilification and Hate Crimes and Other Legislation Amendment Bill 2023 that we were protesting outside Queensland Parliament on the day that you that I gave that speech that you played a portion of before. And that was organised by the suspended Dr. William Bay, another very active man at this time, standing up, very courageous. And he organised that protest, and I was happy to be able to go there and support that. And also, I guess on that day, George, I gave a demonstration of what it was like to preach zealously and openly, not unlike we've seen through history, preachers get up on soapboxes and preach. And this, you know, Christians are salt and light. And it's one of those things, if you don't believe what I'm saying as a preacher, I'm not advocating any kind of violence or anything like that, but I'm calling for righteousness. I'm calling for a return to the values and the heritage that's made our nation great, Christian values. If you don't believe, if you don't care for those things, we'll just keep on walking and, you know, let ideas be contested in the marketplace, et cetera. But, yeah, the dangerous part is that potentially if this law goes through, if we're right in what we're seeing, you know, people could be arrested for, you know, just preaching what has been traditional Christian truth and locked up because of it. I believe that today, more than ever, there is a calling for men, particularly men. I'm talking to men because, you know, men have a role as protectors, as fathers, as leaders in their community, to stand up and be very, very bold. And that's a calling for us at this time, because if we're afraid, we're going to be quiet. And as we be quiet or apathetic, all we've seen is that we've lost a lot of ground in this nation and also around the world. In the area of morality, and our silence almost becomes consent and complicity. So gone are those days, George. And so I guess for me, I said, right, I'll be put my hand up and I'll speak. Jesus said this. He said, you know, work while it is still day, because night comes when no man can work. So I'm taking that principle and working as hard as I can while it is still day. And look, I'm always an optimist. I always have faith. I always have hope that if we speak and we do our part and God Almighty does his part, we may be able to just turn this thing around. We see through scripture all the time, David versus Goliath battles don't always go the way of the big ugly giant.
Yeah, yeah. And look, this situation that you approach, this law that you're protesting against there, if you combine it with the federal government's new proposed law, which really, without a doubt, the Queensland law is incredibly worse because it lands people in jail simply for what they've posted online. But the federal law is egregious as well. This is the so-called Combating Misinformation and Disinformation Bill that actually hasn't been introduced in Parliament yet. That's what I'm talking about. And what they plan to do with that is circumvent our Constitution. Now, while we don't have an American-style system of a Bill of Rights in our Constitution, the High Court, in its wisdom, has ruled that we have what's called a constitutional implied right to political communication, because by virtue of the fact that we're a Westminster style of democracy, one of the core tenets of that style of democracy has got to be the free flow of political communication, so that voters can actually make up their mind. They can, you know, sensibly elect people and put them into parliament. So the High Court's ruled that we have this. So what the government's trying to do, in essence, is draft a law that doesn't have them censoring you, but has big tech censoring you. Look, I think that they're being too cute by half, too smart by half, and they will come unstuck on this if they try to ram it through.
Good.
I think that there is no way that if there was a direct action from the government agency, the Australian Communication and Media Authority, that's going to police this, if there was a direct action or request to take something down, I think that that action in itself would probably breach the Constitution, but I'm not a constitutional lawyer. It would have to be tested. Nonetheless, these laws are being passed. And, you know, we would think we've got something here in Queensland, we've got something going on in the federal parliament. Perhaps just our politicians here in Australia have gone crazy. But no, 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 Dylan. I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you talked about the World Economic Forum.
Correct.
Because from Brazil to South Korea to Europe to Southeast Asia to the United States of America to Canada to Africa, in fact, there are countries right across the world that are putting in place these kind of laws. It has been directed from above. It is clear that it is a directive from the globalists that every country around the world has to clamp down on the free flow of information, alternative sources of news that are currently abounding on the internet, on platforms like, yes, sometimes Facebook, also these days Twitter, Telegram, Gab, Rumble, Parler, Truth Social. All of these platforms will be affected. And of course, it doesn't just stop at the social media platforms. It even affects, it could even affect Joe Rogan. He might actually be censored in Australia for what he says in his podcast. I don't know if Joe Rogan's got that memo yet, but under the law that's being proposed here, he could be. So, you know, this is a directive from above, and it's emanating from two globalist institutions, as far as I can see, Dylan. One of them is the United Nations, of which Antonio Guterres has come out, who's the Secretary General, come out time and again saying that that the world needs to clamp down on misinformation. I hate that term. I think what they really mean is information we don't like. And the World Economic Forum has also been part of the cheer squad for it. So I mean, I've got my own answer, but what I wanted to ask you, when something is sort of global like that, it does tend to make people clamp up a little bit. They think, well, what can I do? From your point of view, what can the average person do? And, you know, talk a bit about what I've spoken about with the globalists going after free speech here, if you've got any commentary on it.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, as much as we haven't liked social media, and I like we talk about this love-hate relationship, I mean, if you try and imagine a world last couple of years where there was no social media and all we had to digest was the complicit sold-out mainstream media narrative, you know, shills of the government, a lot of people found, and look, let's not make any, you know, bones about it, there are sometimes incorrect stuff that appears on social media. But I tell you what, there's a plenty and probably more that appears on the mainstream media. So, you know, the social media has been a platform, as you say, for a free flow of information, counter narrative, well researched. And to me, it seems that it suits this globalist agenda to shut down all of that alternative voices, including this radio station, I'd imagine, as well. Anyway, impedes what the marching orders that our political representatives have got. And one of my things that I've said a lot over the time is that we have these representatives who don't represent us. I remember it was you, George, one time who said you've never had someone from your electorate come up to you and say, look, we want a digital ID, for example. We really want all the information to be stored centrally. That they didn't come to you and say that. You know, you're not driving it, you know, from your electorate. This is coming from above, as you say. And it does make it very insidious and concerning. And yeah, you're right. The average person might say, well, what can we do about it? And I've always encouraged people, we have to stay positive. We have to work within the sphere of influence we have. In fact, that's all that God requires of each one of us, to work within the sphere of influence that we have, be faithful with that. Be a voice that is credible, that is compassionate. You know, we're not about, you know, ranting and raving and putting people off. Be factual in what we do. Be compassionate in what we do. Let it come out of a true sense of love for our country and our fellow man. And as we do that in our sphere of influence, I believe the sphere of influence will increase. And I've seen that in my own life. Like I've been faithful as I can with those around me, within my school, within my church, within my community, soccer club, wherever I can be. Then as I moved on to social media a bit more, and it's grown and it's grown and it's grown. So I guess we shouldn't be trying to look at the ends, try and work out the ends right back here at the start. Let's just step by step by step be faithful and speak. I guess, you know, sometimes I've been concerned about some commentary that even comes from people who are concerned about this stuff, who say, well, there's no hope. It's, you know, even, you know, from a eschatological view, say, well, you know, this is all prophesied to happen. There's nothing we can do. If any belief that you have means that you're going to be silent now and go to ground, I don't think that's a healthy belief. I don't think it's a biblical belief. Jesus said, you know, occupy until I return, and advance and take territory and take ground. In terms of, look, you know, what I would call, and I speak a lot of this from a spiritual perspective, George, because that's where I have found my faith and my strength. And I must say, I have a lot of people who come up to me at rallies and other places. I was just at a Freedom rally last week there in the city there outside the town hall in Brisbane about this very matter. And the amount of people who come up and want a hug or want to get a photo or shake hands or even pray, what is it? These are not people, George, who are traditionally, would not even call themselves necessarily Christians or people of faith, but they see something in me by way of strength, and I'm always quick to point out that it's Jesus Christ. I can't take credit for myself. It is Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and if you see anything in me that is attractive at an area of being strong, well, then I'll point you to Jesus Christ, and yes, I'm more than happy to pray with folk and point them in that direction. So, yeah, look, there is a globalist push. I've always said it like this: the resources that are arrayed against us are incredible, George. It seems like it's from every angle right now, every angle, and we could list them, you know. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, it says in Isaiah 59, verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, that standard does not always look in the natural to be something that is going to be appropriate to go against the threat. And I reference again, David versus Goliath, Moses the shepherd versus the might of Egypt and Pharaoh himself. But that doesn't matter. God, in fact, loves to have the odds against him because he gets the glory and people get to know his power and his love for them. So, you know, I think as much as we see the resources arrayed against us, let's expect that God's doing something on the earth and we're going to see him come through on behalf of his people in a very powerful way. I think these are days that are unique, even at a spiritual level, end of the age type stuff, George. And we're going to see as this battle rages between light and dark, good and evil, the power of God manifest in ways that we haven't seen for a long time.
That's fantastic, Dylan. I think that's an incredibly hopeful message, an incredible message of hope, I should say, that you've just given there. There's two things that I want to add to it. I don't know if you have read the book by Rod Dreher, who's an American writer, writes for the American Conservative. He wrote a book a number of years ago that caused a little bit of controversy amongst Christian circles, and that was called The Benedict Option. And his basic thesis was, look, folks, forget about Western civilization. It's dead. And we need to now regroup and focus on ourselves and inculcating our families with the faith and, you know, being the light for whatever is to come post-Western civilization. Now, I kind of agree with that. But the one thing, I mean, a lot of people disagree and said, oh, that's defeatist, that's giving up the fight. I don't think he was saying to give up. He was saying, look, we need to work on what's coming around the corner because this civilization will fall and we can be there to actually build something great for the future. But the one thing that he did say is that, like, he believed a lot of the fights were over. A lot of the political fights were over. We have lost, he was saying. The wokeistas have won. But there was one fight, he said, that we must be in. And that fight was all about freedom of speech and religious liberty. Because if they strip those two things from us, we do not even have the ability, really, to talk amongst ourselves and to promote what is right and good and true. And if we don't have the ability to promote what is right and good and true, then we really are doomed. So that is why I think this fight is just so important. We need all hands on deck. I know that we've got your hands firmly on the deck here with this fight, Dylan, and so more power to you. But we will be back. I want to talk a little bit more about homeschooling. We'll be back to talk about that after this quick break here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
First, they came for your cars, then they came for your gas stoves, then they came for your air conditioners and heaters, and try to go buy a regular light bulb in the U.S. Can you guess what's next on their list?
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution.
That so-called climate czar John Kerry, with his usual holier-than-thou pompous arrogance, firing a warning shot. He claims that if we don't go after agriculture and change the way we all eat, the temperature will go up another 1.5 degree, and that will spell doom.
You just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system.
So eat up, my fellow Americans, before bugs and grass become the required menu. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Running a business in the digital age isn't easy. Luckily, signing up for Digital Boost is. It's your very own digital toolbox, packed with everything to teach you how to save time, increase productivity, and improve your company's presence online. Sign up for free at digitalboost.co.nz and make the internet work for you. That's me typing it in on my computer, like you should be.
The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT Radio, and I'm George Christensen. This is the George Christensen Show. We're talking with Dylan Oakley, who was a former teacher who lost his job due to vaccine mandates, but he's kept firing all cylinders, actually, against not only that horrific policy that was forced upon him and his family, that is the no job, no jab, or no jab, no job rule, but also a lot of other things that are coming down the line, and it's particularly this anti-free speech stuff that we're seeing from both the Queensland state government and the Australian federal government. We're actually seeing that stuff roll right around the world. But Dylan, actually, as a former teacher, and his wife also as a former teacher, are now, well, I shouldn't say former private school teacher, former public school teacher, because he is still a teacher. He is now doing that teaching within the confines of his own home, homeschooling his children. Now, I say it again at the top of the show that I firmly believe that is the way that many of us are going to have to go, unless you find a really, really good, solid Christian school. You know, I would say to you, do not, folks, do not trust your children in the system. What the system wants is for your kids to be ripped away from you from 9 to 3 or 8 to 3 every day and inculcated with values and ideas and thoughts that are not yours, ones that you are probably very much opposed to. You know, they'll inculcate your kids with the concept that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. And then you'll wonder one day why your little boy or little girl's wanting to wear clothes of the opposite sex. You know, they'll inculcate your kids that the white race has got to do self-flagellation every second of the day because of sins that were committed not just generations ago, but hundreds of years ago. That's racial division. They will tell your kids that it's wrong to populate the planet because the environment's hurting. They'll tell your kids, even if you're a farmer, that your dad is a bad man for what he does. If your father's a coal miner, they're a bad man for what they do. You know, this is the kind of stuff that's happening right now. Think about what it's going to be like in a few years' time. So I want to talk to Dylan, particularly about the homeschooling aspect. When did you decide to do the homeschooling, Dylan? Was it before or after COVID?
No, well before COVID, George. We have homeschooled for a long time, which is interesting, as both being teachers and both having a good insight into the classroom and what goes on. We made a deliberate decision to homeschool our children, including my daughter, as I mentioned before, Anna, who is a teacher now herself. So we can, you know, confidently help people in the sense when they say, but look, can they go on and go to university? Of course they can. And some people might say, but what about the socialization? I say, I've seen socialization in schools, and it's a socialization you don't want. My children, if you ask anybody, and you've met them, George, they are very well-rounded young people. I know Malcolm Roberts, he gave me a compliment one time. He said, the thing with your children, Dylan, that when you shake your boys' hands, they look you in the eye, they say g'day, they have a conversation. And so by the grace of God and with some good homeschool training, our children are very well-rounded. They're very successful in many different areas, George. And I'm saying all this not to blow my own trumpet, but just to give people a confidence around this. I mean, they're involved in sporting clubs. My son is nearly a pilot. He's only 15, Charles. He's doing his pilot's license. I mean, they do music. They're in worship teams. They're part of youth groups. There is so much interactions that they can have that we choose and that are healthy and wholesome and developing them as young people without putting them into, you know, this mass indoctrination system. What is that? That book by Gatto said, weapons of mass indoctrination. And look, I've been in there, George, and they are a depressing place. Even I think back to my own schooling, honestly, the way the system runs and the design of it, it creates so much, you know, they put them all in their own age levels and differentiation at age levels and all these kinds of things. My wife is really studied on this. She's a good one to talk to about this. She does do the lion's share of our homeschooling, but she's very, very dedicated. And our children are all excelling in different ways. And now, look, they're not all academics. It's not like we were blessed with a bunch of kids that all were, you know, scholars. Not at all. They have different strengths. My lad Josiah is so into nature. He can walk around the garden and point out every tree, different types of trees, animals, fish. A guy came up at church the other day and said to me, do you know what fish this is? I said, I wouldn't have a clue, but ask my son Josiah, he'll tell you straight away. And he walked over and Josiah, that's a sooty grunter. You know, so look, you know, that's the thing, that the beautiful thing, and I know you've got a young daughter, George, and that's ahead of you, and it's a wonderful thing to really know your children well. You know, you can put your children in the school system. Mum and dad can be off working and so busy with their own lives. You know, they don't really know their kids, George, you know, but we know our children. We know what they love, what their strengths are. You know, we can even start to see the callings that they have on their life and start to help point them in that direction. And it's a beautiful and a wonderful thing. You know, I think children are a gift. I could go on and on and on. You know,
well, I want you to go on because it's very important, this conversation. But I just want to say, in defense of those who, you know, are in dual income families that have gone out and they're working and they don't have that tight relationship with their kids, those people, I mean, look, maybe in some respects they've made conscious decisions, but they're victims as well. Yep. They're victims of the system. They're victims of the globalist pressure. They're victims of the feminazis who have sort of pushed this idea on women in particular that you are not doing your bit unless you're out in the workforce. If you're wanting to stay at home and to be a dedicated homemaker, then all you're doing is you know, is perpetuating the patriarchy or something like that, they would say. You know, and I love memes, mate. In fact, just a meme that come to mind when you were talking before is the one where the non-player character says, you homeschool your kids, but they won't fit in with society. And
exactly.
Chad turns around and says to him, exactly.
I think I've seen it, George. Look, you bring up a point.
I just want to say on the issue of women and working in the workforce and not being there to be that guiding influence as so many in previous generations were. There's a meme that goes around at the moment about you've liberated yourself from the patriarchy, not being under the oppressive rule of the husband. And then she's at work and the boss is saying to her, you know, I need 20 of these done within the hour. You know, it's just replaced one form of actual, some people, particularly the feminazis, might see it as subjugation. But in reality, it's just a respectful, healthy relationship where there's give and take, where there's sacrifice on everyone's part. But it's replaced that with something that is actual subjugation to big corporate entities.
Correct.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
I think these people are victims, actually, Dylan.
Yeah, and victims of the brainwashing around it, like you say, George. Like, you know, it always fascinates me when governments come out and say, oh, you know, one of our policies, more money for childcare. You know, it's like, wow, we've got more money for childcare so that mum can get out there and work. But if you scrape it all back, is that what you really want? You know, but you're right. You know, for Fiona,
then you put them in the hands of childcare centres, and you find out that someone's working for them that's raped 90 kids.
That's the danger that
we face. That is in the extreme end, right? But it is the danger that is faced when you're basically handing over your children to someone else. And I want to say, you know, that kids in the classroom that are having all these ideologies, left-wing ideologies, Marxism, it straight is up Marxism. Go look in the teachers' union handbooks. Mm-hmm. See the kind of things that they're telling teachers to push in the classroom. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go too hard. Go and have a look at the libtards of TikTok videos and stuff that's even been exposed by Project Veritas. I mean, some of these teachers have just evil intent on mm-hmm. their mind. And so when you put your kids into the hand of someone else and, you know, you've got to be hoping for the best, you really do, because you're not going to be there all the time to hear what's being said. Your kids are not going to relay this.
Look, the state government has just announced that they're banning mobile phones in state schools, and everyone is applauding this decision. And I must say, look, as a teacher, 24 years registered teacher, I would have applauded that myself at one point. And I know all of the arguments, and I can say that realistically, mobile phones at school have been a distraction. They've been a source of conflict between kids. That's the reality with mobile phones in schools. We can have 1,000 reasons why they're no good. But in the current
context, now they can't record dodgy teaching, mate.
Yeah, now in the current context, I oppose such a ban. And in fact, I commented on the Premier's Facebook page about this very thing. I said, because if you happen to have a child in the state education system and there's a pop-up vax clinic, or they've got some gender-bending class going on, they're trying to get your kid to imagine they're the opposite sex, or that they're attracted to somebody else, and they're just drowning in the perversion of that system, man, they need to have a phone just to pull it out and say, Mom, Dad, get me out of here. Today I need to go, you know. And they can come and pick them up, you know. But
they would record it, because I would bet my bottom dollar that a lot of kids have recorded this stuff and reported it back to their parents. And the fact is that if there is no proof, if the kid just comes home and says, "Oh, Mum, guess what they taught us today," or "Dad, look what they taught us today," the dad or mum goes to complain, and then they're told, "No, that's not what was said, and that's not what was done." So then you've got one word against another,
and that's the concern right now. Yeah, that's the concern right now, is that it's what's going on in the schools And then the fact that there will be no ability for kids to record it or have any, it's just a he said, she said type of deal. So, no, the whole thing is concerning. I do want to go quickly back to what you said about, because
yes.
Fiona, we made a conscious decision, and she, as a woman, I was able to support her and so that she knew that the job and the role she was doing with our children as the main educator in the homeschooling setup and a homemaker and a mum was valued. And I think that's the thing. If people are just listening to what goes on through the media, through the leftist, you know, ideology, they start to think, look, that my role here isn't valued. But we've always seen together how valuable her role is. Now, it's not without sacrifice, George, because when you decide to homeschool your children, and Fiona, when people chat to her about it, she's quick to say, look, it is a big sacrifice. It's very time consuming. You do give up an income to do it, but it is very rewarding. And I think the investment you make has returns that are not necessarily financial, but they are eternal. And we couldn't have been happier to have made this decision with our children. But we have sacrificed, like in terms of your financial position, sure, you make a sacrifice as a homeschooler, unless you happen to be, you know, born into a lot of money or something like that.
Yeah. So tell us for those parents who may be thinking about homeschooling, what resources are out there that you're aware of? That what are you using for starters? What resource do you use?
Yeah, well, Fiona has always enrolled through a distance education school. There are a few Christian distance education schools you enroll with. So technically it's not even homeschooling, it's distance education. But so you have the support of teachers who are part of that school, and so there are Zoom lessons all the time. There are teacher visits. In fact, my children just participated just a couple of days ago at a sports carnival where all the homeschooling families came together and had a athletics day together. They had a cross country not long before that. There's missions trips. There's music, worship things they can come together and do. So it is a community. You need not think that you're going to be isolated and alone trying to do it all yourself. Alternatively, if somebody didn't want to go that direction, you can go directly at this time, at least, to the Department of Education and work out a program with them and use their curriculum, but you'll oversee it and be able to see what's happening, and that's important. Or there are others, I believe, who go even through international providers and get resources. It all depends on how much work you want to put into it, how confident you feel about the way you want to approach it. But I think it's something, again, it's like what we were saying before. If it seems too big at the start, you might not want to do it. You got to start somewhere and then learn as you go. And over time, talk to people within the homeschooling communities and groups, because a lot of them have got a lot of experience. And some people have done it to the point now that all their children have grown up, they're graduated, they're off and doing things. I mean, some kids we knew through the homeschooling communities who went off to university a couple of years younger than the normal entry, simply because they had advanced their way through the work and they were mature and they were ready to do that. So there's so much potential through homeschooling to give your children a really good step up in life, and at the same time really preserve them from, you know, being, you know, subjected to this, as I said before, perverted, mind-warping propaganda that goes on in schools these days.
Well, I think that these are very important things, both freedom of speech, religious liberty, and the education of our children are two things that we must fight for, and I'm very glad that we've had this conversation, Dylan. Now, by the way, I've just purchased homeschooling resources from over in the USA through an outfit called Memoria Press, because they do a classical style of education. And I think that's something that we're going to have to return to, something from the past. In fact, a lot of what we're talking about is returning to things in the past, you know, becoming more involved with your families rather than with the workplace. That's something that we're going to have to return to. But, mate, before we wrap up, because we've only got about a minute or so left, I want people to know where to go to hear more from Dylan Oakley. Facebook page is facebook.com/freedomhasavoice. Your Twitter account is at FreedomHAV. Is there any other forums or places where people can go and hear more from you?
Rumble is a good place to go. If you go to Rumble and look up Freedom Has a Voice, in fact, you'll find a message I preached this morning, hot off the press on Rumble, that I haven't shared anywhere else yet, that I preached in a Baptist church this morning that was very well received. A lot of people greatly encouraged. And I think if anyone listening tonight wants to hear more along these lines, they should jump onto Rumble, Freedom Has a Voice, Telegram, Freedom Has a Voice. And look, I am in the process of organizing a website, George, as just a more of a stable platform. And I'm working on that and an email database for folk who are following very closely with what I'm doing. Watch this space. I guess we're all in a state of developing with what we're called to do. And I'm going to be doing more preaching on the street, more preaching in the churches. I'm called to revive the churches, George.